The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Five on DGS, Bernie Miklas and Kevin Wheeler hanging out today. Dave and Rachel and Andrew will be back later on. Obviously, the whole crew of us will be here on next Monday, a week from today. Later in the week, Rach and Andrew will return and we'll have somewhat more of a normal show. But we're getting through the holiday period with me and Bernie hanging out. And happy to be doing that, by the way, with Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. You'll find him on Twitter at Dennis Dodd CBS. You can find him on CBS Sports HQ. I feel like every time I look up, Dennis, you're on there doing stuff, which is a compliment, by the way. I always love seeing you. We appreciate you doing this, man. How you been?
I'm good. Happy New Year to everyone in St. Louis, and happy and healthy times.
Dennis, it's been a while, man. Great to talk to you, as always. I was intrigued by a recent story of yours and made me laugh, made me smile, how the Big Ten and the SEC seem to be in cahoots to set up play-in games rather than conference championship games, standalone games, so they would ensure that they get three automatic bids to the playoff tournament. As you indicated, the ACC and some others aren't real happy about that. Fill us in on that. It's a funny story, actually.
Now, this goes back to earlier this year when, I don't know if you guys remember, that the Big Ten and the SEC tried to force feed, like, I think it was, at that time it was four automatic qualifiers each into the format. This would be in beginning in 2026. And that the reaction was so, I guess, negative and violent from administrators and ADs around the country that it just kind of tabled it. But you knew this was coming because both conferences have the leverage to do it. You know, fine, you don't want to do it, we'll do our own. So it's going to happen, I think. What and this came from the Big Ten. What they want to do beginning in 26 is on that championship Saturday, which is typically the first or second Saturday in December, not only play a championship game, but to play two additional games as play-ins for the playoffs. Sixth seed versus third seed, fourth versus fifth, and you better believe the SEC is going to imitate it if they get it passed. And that would in some way legitimize the process, because at least they'd be playing for it. I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it'll pass, but it would require a change in the NCAA rules to add that game.
Man, you know, Dennis, I think a lot of the problems that exist in college football in particular, not so much college sports, but college football in particular, the things that people are complaining about and the things that SEC people and primarily are complaining about are problems created by the massive expansion of those two conferences. I mean, there's a reason why Indiana's schedule is so dramatically different from Ohio State's. It's because they have too many damn teams to make sure that the schedules are similar.
Yeah, and it's really the case for all the major conferences now. I've harped on this through the season that the reason Indiana's schedule is what it is, and by the way, it was not bad. I didn't hear anybody in July looking at Indiana's schedule and saying it was easy. They were playing the defending national champs, Michigan,
right.
Ohio State,
Washington,
and Washington, who played for the national championship. So if you're going to criticize it, it's revisionist history within the context of the schedule. That wasn't fair. The reason it happened to them or anybody else is realignment and consolidation, where in all these major conferences, all of the power four, any given year, and every year, you're literally not playing half the league. And so that means in any given year, you could have a randomly tough schedule or a very easy schedule, as some of these teams had. They couldn't be evaluated maybe fairly. But that's on the commissioners. That's on realignment.
Right.
That's on TV. Don't blame Indiana.
Right. And what was fascinating to me in all of this, using Indiana as the example, because the team that beat them, that allegedly, quote, outclassed them, had basically the same strength of schedule Indiana did and the same record, but not a word about Notre Dame in those ways.
Right. That's right. And Notre Dame you know, I think proved itself after the they've got a different set of circumstances they have to live by, because they're never going to get a bye in this current system. That's what they agreed to, since they're not in a conference and go play in a championship game. They're always going to play in a first round game if they get into the playoffs.
Right.
But they earned their way in 11 in a row and counting after Northern Illinois. And Marcus Freeman's got an extension. And I would dare say at this point, when we're talking about the Lincoln Rileys of the world and some of these guys earning all this money, it developed into discussion for one of the better coaches in the country, you know, with what he's done.
Dennis Stott from CBS Sports is with us right now here on the Dave Glover Show. Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas. Kevin's not filling in because he's a member of the Dave Glover Show, but I'm filling in. Dennis, I wanted to just run through the games with you. Just, I'm not going to ask you to like pick a winner and on any of that stuff, but just sort of like laying it out for us. For example, let's go in order. How much of a shot do you give Boise State? They're an 11-point underdog against Penn State. That's the one game tomorrow night.
Yeah, that I've kind of broken all these down for us on the website. There's a path for Boise State, but it's not necessarily with Ashton Jeanty. I mean, I'm going to assume that Penn State's defense slows down Ashton Jeanty. That doesn't mean he won't get the Barry Sanders record. He only needs 132 more yards.
Right.
But I think what their quarterback, Maddox Mattson, has proved during the season is when teams line up and crowd the box, that he can throw. And throw to win. He has averaged, in a season where Ashton Jeanty has averaged 192 rushing yards per game, he has averaged over 29 passes per game and is the only player in the country to have 20 touchdown passes and less than 5 turnovers. That's saying something. Now, again, they're stepping up in competition from the Mountain West, but I think to win, they're going to need Maddox Mattson. You know, I don't think Ashton Jeanty is going to go nuts and beat Penn State by himself. And that being said, Penn State's going to win.
Yeah. And by the way, let me follow up on something you said, because you do have a fresh story up. It's at the top of the college football news at CBSSports.com. College football playoff games and predictions. And so you go through all that. I thought it was really, really well done. All right, the next game in chronological order, it would be Texas-Arizona State. Arizona State, a 12-point underdog. I have a hard time buying Arizona State in this one, or am I maybe taking them for granted? I mean, I realize they're hot,
yeah,
and I realize they're fun, but, man, all the athletes that Texas has, there seems to be a gap. How much of a gap?
Yeah, it's best just not to overthink this one. Texas is stronger, faster, better. I think the crippling blow to Arizona State is late in the season. They lost their leading pass catcher, Jordan Tyson, who I think finished third in the Big 12 in the season. He's out for the season. Their next leading pass catcher, guys, is their tailback, Cam Scatterbird.
Wow.
And he, as good as he is, he's the spiritual leader of that team. He averages 3 receptions per game. So, you know, they've got guys. I just don't know who they are, who they're going to fill in. Texas is playing at the top of the game. You know, we all saw what they did against Clemson. They're an All-American at left tackle, and Kelvin Banks Jr. They have like a three-headed running back committee now, even though they lost 2 tailbacks in the preseason, the season-ending injuries. The defense is one of the best in the country. In fact, as an aside, of the 8 teams left, 5 of those teams are ranked in the top 10 in defense. So you can figure out that Arizona State is not one of those 5. And so that may be the deciding factor. I will go one step further. Quinn Ewers, you know, I can't believe in him for Texas to win the national championship. There's just something about him, and I don't know what it is. He's thrown a touchdown pass in 25 straight games. That leads FBS right now. But he doesn't seem to have that it. You know, a guy that's maybe not as talented that had that it is Will Howard at Ohio State. I'm out here in L.A. for the Rose Bowl.
Oh, nice.
He's got that look of a guy. But Quinn Ewers does not. But in that game, yes, Texas.
Yeah, it should be interesting. You mentioned the Ohio State-Oregon game in the Rose Bowl. Fascinating matchup, a rematch from earlier in the year. It's only a 2.5-point spread, and Ohio State's the favorite, right? Like the 8 seed is favored over the undefeated number 1 seed. Has Ohio State changed their profile that much with what they've seen the last couple of days? I know it was a close game before, so I think this is a coin toss as far as who wins or loses. I am a little surprised the 8 seed is the favorite when Oregon's had the bye and Ohio State just had to play.
Yeah, I would forget the seeds in this whole thing, you know, because, yes, Oregon is number one and deserves to be. But because they didn't win their conference, Ohio State, and they laid a total egg against Michigan as well. They have two losses, could not get one of those top, you know, those top five seeds. Boise State was a seeded higher than them. But I think Ohio State's playing well. Yes, I agree. A team, this razor thin margin, a team that lost by one at Oregon on October 12th, 2.5 months later, is now a 2-point favorite to win on a neutral field. And don't forget how that game ended. It was only because Will Howard slid to a stop at the Oregon 29 and had some spatial unawareness that the clock had run out. That Ohio State went home and not only lost, but a timeout in its pocket they could have used to kick the game-winning field goal. Now I'm just getting ready to file this story on how he beat himself up since then. You know, never mind they're back to this place playing for a national championship. They may have just played their best game of the season against Tennessee. But I do like Ohio State, and I like Ohio State to win the whole thing. I think they've gotten over the mental hurdle of Michigan, and that was as bad as I've seen any team in a game like that in a big-time rivalry just self-combust.
Dennis out of CBS.
They were great against Tennessee, and I think they're going to keep going.
Sorry about that, man, because I know you've got time constraints, so I was trying to get you out of here. So anyway, I don't want to, but, you know.
No, I was just making reference. I'm good.
Yeah, so you picked Notre Dame to beat Georgia in a narrow one. Has it come down to just Notre Dame's defense is too good, and maybe we shouldn't get too carried away by what we saw from Gunnar Stockton? A lot of it was good against Texas. Well, so give us your feeling on that, why you settled on Notre Dame.
There's a lot. Before I answer that, I will say this about Georgia. There is a sense of release and belief and rallying around Gunnar Stockton. They had enough of Carson Beck, who declared for the draft last week. Lamborghini guy, flashy girlfriend, first one out of the building, last one in. Mm. That's the vibe I'm getting. So they, emotionally and belief-wise, they've rallied behind Gunnar Stockton. Never mind, he has thrown 51 career passes and Riley Leonard has 75 career touchdowns. They think they can do it. Here's why I think Notre Dame can win. A close game. Very physical, run the ball. I believe in the defense, especially the back seven. Georgia's running game, and I didn't go back any further, this is their worst running game statistically in at least 10 years. They have, what was the other stat I had on that? There was one even worse than that. Georgia had been bad. It escapes my mind right now, but they are not good. It was their defense. Running game worst in 10 years. Defense worst in 13 years. They're 35th in the country. Aside from Arizona State, they might have the worst ranked defense in the eight remaining teams. And everybody talks about Georgia's defense. I think that can be exploited with the running game by Notre Dame. So I like them in a thin one.
Dennis, you are the best, man. We appreciate you squeezing us in. We don't have time today to get into your beloved St. Louis Blues, but we can find time another time. And by the way, if you're ever around town, let us know, man. We'll get tickets. We'll go hang out at the Blues game or a Cardinals game if it's during the summer. But, you know, we love you. We appreciate you. And next time we'll talk more hockey with you.
I will definitely do that. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Thank
Dennis
you,
Dodd
friend.
Is the best. You can find Dennis Dodd, of course, on Twitter, at Dennis Dodd CBS. You'll see him on CBS Sports HQ quite a bit. And, of course, on CBSSports.com, where they have the breakdown and the predictions on the college football games.
Go to CBSSports.com, and you can see the piece, and you can read it. He lays it all out very well. Yeah. He's got some fun things there. But for the record, people that are wondering, Dennis Dodd's got Penn State beating Boise State 31-17. He's got Texas, a 38-21 winner over Arizona State. He's got a 1-point victory this time for Ohio State over Oregon, 33-32. And he's got Notre Dame winning a tight one, 23-19 over the Dogs. So I haven't made up my mind on a couple of these games yet. I think Boise State's going to cover the point spread.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do.
I'm kind of in between. I'm really torn because I know that if they're able to run it all, that'll naturally suppress the score a little bit and keep it a little bit closer. But
I think they can cover 11. I do.
Right.
And I was trying to talk myself into Arizona State cover.
Because you want those points.
I can't get there.
Those 13 points.
The one that I'm really, really wrestling with is, in fact, Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Oregon.
Yep.
I think there's been an overreaction to what Ohio State did to Tennessee.
I agree.
And I think it's everyone's kind of forgotten. Not everyone. There seems to be people like a little bit, that's right, Oregon went undefeated in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Overall. Like, all of a sudden, it's like everyone went from one extreme to another. A lot of people went with one extreme to another, Ohio State. It's like, oh, well, that team's demoralized. They'll never be able to recover from that Michigan loss.
Yeah.
Oh, Tennessee will go in there and beat them up. And now it's like people.
It's the opposite.
Yeah. Now it's like, it's almost like, I think Ohio State can win the whole thing. Don't get me wrong. But people are like forgotten about all the things they said before the Tennessee game.
Yep.
I don't know about, I think Notre Dame wins, but I'm not entirely made up on
that. I'm kind of coin flip on that one because we just don't know what Gunnar Stockton's going to be. I mean, and he's going to be a big test, you know, tough defense, all that. I flip a coin there, but I would lean Notre Dame. Definitely think Texas and Penn State win. If I had to pick between them, I'd probably go with you and take the points with Boise, but I might not with Arizona State. I think Texas might blow them out.
Right.
I'm still with Oregon, man. In a game that's that closely matched, I'm going to go with the better quarterback, and the better quarterback is Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
But, again, it's a coin flip game, so that's how I'm trying to break the tie. Bernie Miklas, Kevin Wheeler with you on DGS here on a Monday. Oh, man, having a flashback on this. So just this past weekend, I was back home, Bern, for the holidays and met up with a bunch of buddies from high school that I hadn't seen in a long time that we keep in touch with. We're always texting and things like that, but you don't always get to get together. And one of the guys that I hadn't seen since high school was a guy named Pete Elezovic, who changed his last name a little bit. I'm not going to get into all that, but you would know him as Pete Elezovic because he was Michigan's kicker in the early 90s. He played in the NFL, played for Tampa Bay for a couple years, played in the Arena Football League as a kicker. Really good guy. Well, he was my high school baseball teammate, and he was a senior when I was a junior, and I hadn't seen him basically since our last game of his senior year, which was the semifinal game in the state tournament. We lost in the state semifinal 2-1, and that was basically the last day that I ever saw him. And so I saw him again this weekend, and that right there, that song is the flashback, because we were playing that song in the van that we were riding in going up to the stadium at Michigan State in Lansing to go play the state semifinal game. We're just blasting Stranglehold, and everybody's like rocking out, getting ready for the game. And that just gave me the flashback.
What was that? Was that Mississippi Queen? What was that song?
Stranglehold.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry.
I was putting my headphones, but I thought I heard a little guitar.
Yeah, yeah, there's a little bit of
like Leslie West.
There's a little bit of the riff that sounds like that. But yeah, no, that was Ted Nugent, Stranglehold, and we were like,
well, I should have figured that.
Well, I'm in the Motor City Madman,
right?
But we were like rocking to that, getting ready for this big game. And that right there just gave me the flashback to that, which is funny because just a couple days ago I had the flashback seeing my buddy who I hadn't seen, I don't know, whatever that was, 1993, the last time I'd seen him.
It's always good to see reunited, have those reunions around the holiday time, right?
Here, you want to hear an interesting quick story about that that Pete told us? I won't get into any of the details, but because there's a lot more that's way more interesting than just the little bit that I'm going to give you. But when he was in the NFL, he was teammates with Antonio Brown's dad. So he used to drive Antonio Brown when he was a little kid, like pick him up from school and bring him to the facility, and they used to hang out together. So he had some interesting stories about EB even when he was a little kid. Nothing bad, nothing criminal, nothing like that.
But a different kind of kid.
Yeah, a little bit. And dad was a little bit different apparently as well. So those are stories from Pete.
Well, unless you share the stories,
I can't.
You know,
I can't. If I go any further than that, I'm gonna be in trouble.
And Brown will come after you.
No, not him. I'm worried about Pete.
Oh, okay.
He's my guy. I don't want to put my guy in a bad spot. But you know, there's a. It is amazing how though, like right there, like 10 seconds of a song, set off all of that. First, I'm having the flashback to being in high school, riding in the bus, riding in the van on the way to the state semifinal game. It was the first game we ever had in high school where we stayed overnight in a hotel to get ready for the game the next day and did all that stuff. And, you know, it was just flashback instantaneously from hearing just that little bit.
Isn't nostalgia great? I'm not being sarcastic.
No, that kind of stuff is cool.
Because the sentiment never really subsides. It makes you feel good all over again.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. All right, we're going to get back. We're going to get a little bit of non-sports stuff coming up after the news. We're going to talk about the vibe of the city of St. Louis 24 and whether or not we think it might change in 25. That'll be after the news here on KMOX. All right, Bernie Miklas and Kevin Wheeler with you here on DGS. Bern, we talked a lot of sports today, which has been fun, and I enjoy it. I'm glad
yes,
we
sir.
Got to do that.
It's great working with you, man.
Yeah, we've been mixing it up outside of that a little bit, too. And I wanted to just – you're a city resident and have been your entire time in the city of St.
Absolutely.
Louis, right? Since you came to St. Louis, you have lived in the city.
Came here in 85. I left for a year, like 16 months or so,
yeah,
to go to Dallas, cover the Cowboys for the mm-hmm. morning news. But I still kept my – I still kept my home in St. Louis, returned to it, then bought another home in St. Louis. So, yeah. I've been paying city property taxes since the mid-'80s. Yeah. And I love living in the city.
So the reason I want to bring it up is, you know, not only on DGS, but, you know, Chris and Amy, TIM, we're always talking about what's happening in the St. Louis area, right? I mean, yes, it's downtown. Yes, it's things that are happening in the city. And whether it's the money that they got from the Rams lawsuit, or it's the COVID era money, or it's the policing, or it's a shooting down the road, whatever it is, you know, the accident, the people being hit at Ted Drew's. We're always talking about these things, right? And the vibe, since we're doing this, you know, look back at 2024, look ahead to 2025 thing a lot today here on this show, but also in general, the vibe for 2024, it was just a downer for this city. Not a lot of good news. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of things to be really excited about. Not a lot of things to thump your chest about and be proud about. And I wanted to ask you as a city resident, because we get caught up in it because we're surrounded by it on a radio station. We're hearing things in the news every day because we're going to report what's happening. And that doesn't mean you're reporting every single thing. You're reporting the things that are big news, right? There are things that are happening. We are in the part of downtown that is probably the worst part of downtown proper. You know, you got the drug park right down the street. We've had two or three shootings in the last few months just right in this area.
Is that Hamsterdam? Yeah. Remember Hamsterdam? Yeah. From The Wire?
It is. It's almost like it's just like set aside. Like, all right, we're just going to leave them there.
Yeah, Hamsterdam.
We know they're there. We're just going to leave them there because then they're not anywhere else where we don't want them to be.
Bunny. It was Bunny, a captain.
Yeah, Bunny.
Bunny said, no, we're not going to arrest anybody for drugs. Just let them have their own little area.
Yep. Yeah. It has that kind of, we joked about that earlier. It has that kind of vibe. Is that, I keep saying the word vibe, but is the negative vibe, is that real? Or is it just the feeling because of what we're surrounded by? Because I don't know about Bernie. I just don't see, like, moving into 2025, where's the reason for optimism? And I want to find it.
I can't. This defies a very simple answer. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Let me speak to just my experience. I'm proud to be a city resident. I would never live outside of the city. There's so many things I love about it. Property taxes are high, but we think it's worth living in, to paying them and living in the city of St. Louis. So, you know, no one can question our loyalty to the city of St. Louis, but we're like everybody else. I mean, as the years go by, we're more and more frustrated about certain things. And we're talking about, before you get into crime and all of that, and by the way, I'm not trying to minimize that.
No,
it's a big deal. Or the perception that it's just a lawless municipality or whatever, right? But, you know, when you're a city advocate and you've lived in the city for, you know, 40 years and you're paying really high property taxes, I think it's okay to demand, for example, that basic services remain intact. And our experience is that basic city services have, you know, continue to deteriorate and erode, and the stuff is just ridiculous, that the streets are in just such horrible, horrible shape. I joke, it's like, you know, I'm calling it like the Ho Chi Minh Trail. I mean, there are no clear roads anymore. I mean, I'm exaggerating. The other thing is just stuff that everybody pretty much counts on, like picking up your trash. You're going to set up a recycling program. Well, why is that? How come no one comes by to pick up the recycling stuff? So we stopped doing it that way. We had to do it another way. Now, people are going to say, well, you're whining. No, I'm really not. I'm just saying that the quality of life has become a lot more annoying than it used to be because of the fact that we never had to worry about basic city services, and yet, to me, like, clearly declining. Now, I'll tell you what irritates me and my wife and my neighbors as city residents is that it's really easy, and this is why I hate the city-county divide. It's really easy for people that don't live in the city to, in effect, exploit some of the bad stuff that's going on and overstate it, make it much worse than it is, and then also have the cojones to try to dictate, well, this is what we should do. Who is we? How much do you pay in St. Louis City property taxes? You don't have a say in the matter, but you're going to sit back and like pass judgment and talk about what a horrible place it is, and I don't know why anybody lives in that city. A lot of really good people live in the city, and people that believe in the city and want to stick with it. I just wish that more things were done to kind of reverse the slide we're on. We're on a slide. I told you this in the show office, and let me tell this story. We live close to Forest Park, close to the Muni and all that. And so there's always stuff going on. And so you're used to fireworks. You're used to pop, 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 pop.
Right.
You okay.
Right. Right.
I don't know. Right. I would say about 2 years ago. And I live over there near, we live over there near Washington University. We're close to Del Mar Loop and all that. That's my neighborhood, our neighborhood. It started a couple years ago. We hear some sounds at night, and we've become pretty good as far as like our hearing and knowing how to decipher what we just heard. And now it's kind of like, oh man, the Muni must be letting out or this or that. You know, oh, that's right. There's a festival in Forest Park. Now there've been quite a few nights over the last couple of years where we're like, pretty sure that's gunshots.
Ooh.
Right. And having lived in that neighborhood for such a long time, it's the first time I ever recall where now you hear pop, pop, and you do wonder, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure that's gunfire, right? I'm not going to say that freaks us out. We still feel safe. It's just a big, big change, and it is unsettling. Now, here's my thing. I don't know what the answer is, right? I can pontificate only to a point. I'm telling you about the things in city life based on our experience, the things I don't like, the deterioration of basic services, but also maybe the encroachment of crime and more violence. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how widespread that is where we live. But rather than tear everything down, I can talk about a lot of positives, which I won't do at this right now, because obviously I feel good about the city or we wouldn't live here. But there are no simple solutions. And that's why I resent people who don't live in the city, you know, pontificating about what should be done. This is what I would do. Okay, good for you. Now, good luck trying to get that into effect. What are you going to impose, martial law? What are you going to do? Like, what are you going to come up with, right? You're going to install your own, you're going to have a coup, install your own government? Like, what exactly are you planning to fix all this? So you have a city that because of the loss of population, has got a really fragile and shrinking tax base. So revenues are down. That leads to fewer and fewer police. That leads to you only have a few people controlling the kitty, so to speak. We're not sure how money's spent. We don't trust the process. We don't know what the answer is to fix the process, because people are doing the voting that keeps certain people in office in city government. And there's still this. The thing I dislike about St. Louis City being a resident is the territoriality. It's just like we don't work as one populace. It's always like, well, what's that neighborhood getting? Oh, well, what's our neighborhood getting? We want mine. I want mine. You know, no, they put too much money there. They put too much money there. There's all this like infighting based on territorial, you know, and that's depressing because it can never move ahead. And I hate to say it, but I don't trust our city leaders to spend money on the up and up, but also spend it wisely, you know.
Kind of what you just said about the Cardinals a little while back.
Well, I was about to say. Right? Yeah. Yeah, you... Yeah, well, put it to you this
Although,
way.
Although, not so much on the up and up, but right. more on the spend it correctly.
Put it to you this way. My lack of trust in our leaders, I actually think John Mozeliak would spend money a lot more wisely than St. Louis City government.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, anyway. But no, I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did.
Because it is not a simplistic
It was just
thing.
Kind of a vibe check, Byrne, yeah. because you live in the city.
It's good.
You know, we talk a lot about leasing. I don't live down here, but I work down here every day. Right. And what I see is not what you see. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're living it.
That's what I mean. And that's why I said I kind of resent some of the hollering from the outside.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're sincere or genuine about really caring about the city, you know.
Easy,
and they want to stereotype everything.
Yeah.
One other thing real quick. We had an alderwoman in here the other day. There is a younger generation starting to move into some of these jobs, and they give me hope as a city resident.
Good.
Because they have a new outlook on thing, and they have a whole new mindset. Got to get away from the machine politics. We got to get away from greasing each other's palms. We need some independent-minded, younger people that hold government positions in the city of St. Louis.
Good stuff. That's Byrne Miklas. I'm Kevin Wheeler. This is DGS on Camel X. Getting ready to wrap it up here on a Monday. Byrne Miklas, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Let's talk about the Winter Classic for a second, Byrne. It's tomorrow, obviously. Right. The Blues and Blackhawks at Wrigley Field. You got a 500 team against a team that's 11 games under 500. The Blackhawks are all kinds of awful.
What's their excuse, by the way?
They're just bad at this.
You got one of the, I mean, Bedard is a superstar.
Yeah, he's very talented.
They can't put a team around him?
Not yet, they haven't. And you know how it is. I mean, I don't know their inner workings, but they had a lot of bad contracts for a lot of years, and they paid too many guys to try to hang on for the, you know, to keep the thing going. And they've just never been able to recover in their farm. So they haven't developed very well. I mean, you get guys like Bedard not through skill, but by where you pick in the draft. And you happen to get a guy like Connor Bedard. But I wanted to bring it up, not so much to just talk about these two teams, but I'm not gonna. I don't hate the Winter Classic. It's not an anger thing or a dislike. I'm just kind of bored with it. Like, it's not the exciting, fresh, new idea that's going to generate conversation and make me tune into a game that I wouldn't otherwise tune into. Like, I would watch Blues Blackhawks anyway. It's not going to, it wouldn't change that. Am I saying this in a way that makes sense?
Well, no, I think what you're trying to say, and we were talking a little bit during the break, is that it's oversaturation. You know, when they first rolled this out as a vehicle,
it was so cool.
It was incredible. I mean, it's like, oh man, I can't wait. Oh, they're going there? Oh man. They're going to play in Buffalo. It's like 8 degrees.
Right.
But then they just started overdoing it. I mean, they're putting games everywhere.
And we're going to be doing Florida.
And it's almost like what we were talking about earlier, and you in particular, because you were the one that raised the subject, and I agree with it. There's too many bowl games.
Yeah.
It's monotonous. I don't even want to watch them.
Most of them are lame. Just lame.
So when you take something that had a unique appeal, it was a singular vehicle platform, incredibly alluring to watch NHL games outdoors in like venerated venues.
Yeah.
Like sacred ground, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I want to watch that.
Yes.
But when you're doing games in Florida and you're doing
Arizona
and you're just trying to like use them to kind of dole out
little
pats on the head. Oh, you've been a good owner. So here, you know, we'll give you one of these games. No, I'm with you. It's too many of them, but I'll still be pulled in. And it's not just because of the Blues, but you have a classic at Wrigley Field. I'm going to watch at least some of it, but tomorrow with the Blues, I don't know how it's going to jibe with my college football.
I was going to say,
watching.
It's a tough one because isn't that the same time?
I'm going to record it and watch it.
Isn't that the same time as Ohio State and on New Year's? Oh, no, wait, no, it's not. No, that's the New Year's Day is the bowl game, so tomorrow is New Year's Eve. So
yeah, there's one bowl game tomorrow night. Yeah, so no, a game like that will draw me in, but a lot of them won't.
Yeah.
So you and I pretty much.
So again, it's not a hate thing. I'm not mad about it. It's not like, oh, this is so stupid. It's just that it used to be so appealing and exciting and interesting, and it's just not interesting anymore because it's been done so many times.
Right.
It's one of those things that you can only go back to the well so many times. And I think a lot of times in sports, leagues get caught up in this stuff. Like, we only have about a minute and a half, Burn, but I can toss this as the same idea. How'd you feel about having football games on Christmas Day?
I liked it.
I mean, as a fan, I watched.
Yeah, I liked it. There were some things about it I didn't like, which is the way they – I won't get into it.
Yeah.
I complained the other day about this. No need to do it. But I liked it. I mean, and they were both appealing games to me, maybe because it's the Chiefs, the Ravens.
Yeah, they're big names. Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of see what was going on, but I had to watch them on my own time, which meant I had to actually watch them on NFL Network because they expire
right
on Netflix, which I thought was really bogus.
It's really bad.
And it was a bait and switch thing. Like, because I'm used to recording things and watching them later.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing I don't like about it, though, is because this year especially, like, it's one thing if Christmas Day falls on a Saturday, if it falls on a Thursday. I don't like what it does to the teams and the players when you have to play on a Wednesday. You know, you're playing.
No, I don't like that at all.
That to me is not worth the bang for the buck.
The Chiefs and the Ravens and the Steelers, two of the three are all three. Maybe Houston in there too. They had to play three games in 11 days.
Yeah, not okay.
But this is a league run by hypocrites that tell you they care about player safety.
Oh, yeah.
They'll sell the players out, and actually the players' union will sell them out because they agree to the games.
They do.
So
been fun, Burn.
Thank you, brother. Good
work. We'll
look
forward to doing this later in the week on the Gas House Gang.
I think Mizzou wins.
Look at that. Oh, minute left. They're up three.
They stopped the fourth down play, I think.
Beautiful, beautiful. Right. Bernie, have a happy new year, buddy.
Thank you, my friend.
We'll talk
seriously,
to you soon.
Thanks for letting me be part of DGS. Thank you.